Hello, dear friends. Once again, it's time for our midweek Bible study right here on our website. Our Bible study is not just themed, but it's called that the theme of it always will be, no matter what we teach from the scriptures, let's talk about Jesus is the title of this webcast, and we're glad you have come to talk about Jesus today. Now, there are a lot of different things in the Bible to teach and preach, and there's a lot of interesting and intriguing truths and facts, historically, archaeologically, spiritually. So many things are coming forward to verify the integrity of the Word of God, the truthfulness of it. And today we're coming to talk about a subject that I believe is going to bless you, make you more thankful for Thanksgiving. Yes, Turkey Day is coming. Saw a church sign the other day that said, "Only turkeys don't give thanks." Makes a lot of sense. The only people who can't appreciate what God has done for us through giving His Son in our behalf can really understand what is the deeper meaning of gratitude and who we should offer it to, especially in this Thanksgiving season. But as I've said many times, for the Christian, every day should be a Thanksgiving day. Praise God. I believe we're going to be giving thanks throughout all eternity. When we get to heaven, I love that great old Christian hymn, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." I don't believe there's a period going to come on the end of that singing and shouting and praising God. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is coming soon, but until He does, we are to occupy, and we're to be ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in us. And we need to hold that hope very precious in this day that we're living, when people are becoming more and more helpless to deal with the events that would mark the last days and the end time. Looking for hope somewhere in someone, we have that hope, and we have the someone that we can present that they can get this precious hope from. The hope of being saved, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the hope of escaping the judgment to come, the wrath to come, the tribulation found in Jesus Christ, the hope of being kept by the very power of God until the day of the redemption of our body, whether we're in the ground or out of the ground. When the trump sounds and Jesus comes, the dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are living as Christians, as believers, and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these very words. We're not like others. Make sure that God has distinguished us. Let's live in this distinction from those who are helpless and hopeless as a result of it. We are not like others today, dear Christian friend, who have no hope. The Bible said of you, if you've tuned in and you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you are without God and without hope in the world. That's why there is such deep, deep depression all over the world. There is an anxiousness about the future that is causing a fear to grip everyone on a global basis. All of the threats of nuclear annihilation, an interchange of nuclear weapon warfare, the threat of famine, the threat of pestilence, the threat of weather conditions, earthquakes and volcano eruptions, and the unrest, the sea and the waves roaring, not just the physical result of the earthquakes, but the tsunami of unrest around the world. The sea and the waves roar. And listen, the Bible said the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. No peace unto the wicked. Remember in the book of Revelation, out of the sea the beast came, speaking of the Antichrist and the false prophet. What sea? Out of the water? Out of the oceans? Out of the lakes, rivers, streams? No. Out of the sea of humanity. And I believe there's a parallel when it was asked, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And Jesus said there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. As we get near that, the sign of his soon imminent return, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in divers places, there would be distress of nations with perplexity, things that nations of the world globally are facing with no clear answers for it. Puzzlement is the word. We're scratching our head. We can't come up with the answer for these things. It will mark the end times that we are now in. But we have a message of hope to give this world. The world is ripe for the reception of a hope that is not just based on, you know, not just based on a hope so without substance. We all hope things are going to get better, but real hope has to be that will change our attitude and the atmosphere of our life. Real hope has to be attached to a truth that we know is so true it gives us hope. And that's why the Bible said the God of all hope fill you with hope in believing. And the Bible speaks of the Scripture, the holy Word of God, the eternal, inerrant Word of God. Oh, the Scripture is given for our learning, that by the patience and comfort of the Scripture we might have hope. Praise God. Amen. In this world we'll have tribulation, but in Christ we have hope today. In God we have hope today. And this hope sets us apart from a helpless world that is without God and without hope. Oh, dear friend of mine, I'm so glad to be a Christian today. And I want to share this hope that I have based on this truth that I know to be true and this person, Jesus Christ, who has saved me. How about you today? I want to share it. There was a song years ago that my wife and I used to sing, written by a young man, very troubled young man. When I say young, I'm talking about in maybe the mid-20s. When he came, he had been contemplating suicide when he came to our ministry. That's where hopelessness leads us. There's no reason to live, and there's nothing to live for but darkness and this terrible sense of no way out of our circumstance and situation. But in Jesus Christ, he found hope, and he found peace, and he found purpose in his life when he came to Christ as his Savior. And he wrote a song, and I'm just going to see if I remember the lyrics to part of it. Not so very, very long ago, I was on the other side. Not so very, very long ago, I was on the other side, never caring about anyone, all wrapped up in foolish pride. But Jesus came, and he took away my sin, and he gave me sweet peace within. I want to live for him. I want to give for him. And I want to share him with you. Oh, it takes me back to when I wore a younger man's clothes. Takes me back to many, many, actually decades ago, for I have been preaching the gospel, pastor, evangelist, president, director of this ministry for 50 years, coming up real, real soon. And we have seen many people come to Christ, and coming to Jesus gives them hope that nothing and no one in the world can give them. Hallelujah! The God of all hope, fill us with hope in believing. If you have hope today that is based and anchored in that is so real, we know it will outlast this world as we know it. The world needs to hear, they need to comprehend that this hope can be found in Jesus Christ. I believe many are going to come to Jesus because the world is ripe for a message that will give them that hope, a tangible hope, not just some empty wish for things to get better, but an actual, well, the biblical explanation for this hope would be a glad. It starts with glad, not sad. It starts with a glad anticipation of future good. Someone said it this way. I'm not trying to be facetious or trite, but someone said it this way. The world only sees a hopeless end. We as Christians see an endless hope. What a difference, what a dichotomy between those who have this hope and those who do not. And the reason we have this hope is because we have a Redeemer that has redeemed us. Hallelujah, from the wrath to come and from the wrath of God that abides on us if we're not forgiven of our sin. So our subject today, real quick, if we can get into it today without just staying, this is what gives us hope. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. Romans 3 and verse 24. We want to study for a little while the time we have left. This is why we have hope as children of the Most High God, as those who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Romans 3:24 says, being justified. It's a forensic term, justified. It means that we cannot be prosecuted for whatever sins that have been remitted because we have been redeemed. Hallelujah. Being justified freely by His grace. And here's the reason that we can be and are justified today. Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. In the Greek, this word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means to ransom in full. It means riddance. See, remittance of sin is different than just being forgiven. Forgiven means you sinned, it's still there clinging to you, but it's been forgiven. Riddance means it's gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Deliverance is part of this word. Without redemption, dear friend, the other great words that describe our condition and position after being saved would be of none effect. If sin's debt is not paid in full, we are not saved. We are not justified, and we cannot hope to be sanctified. If we still owe a sin debt, we are enslaved by Satan. We are the enemies of God. His wrath still abides upon us. We are not able to enter into any kind of fellowship, relationship with God. We have no authority over the devil, but he has sway over us. We cannot be right with God, righteous before God. We cannot have faith, therefore. and we could never approach God's throne with any kind of confidence or boldness. We would be filled with doubt and fear, just like the world is without God and without hope. But thanks be to God today. This is the good news. Jesus Christ brought us redemption. Redemption, as many scholars have stated, plays a central role in biblical theology. The basic shape of the doctrine is formed in the Old Testament, but the full meaning of all that God has eternally in mind is unveiled completely and perfectly in the New Testament. We used to sing this song, "Redeemed by the Blood of the Lamb." No one but Jesus, dear friend, could pay our sin debt. Only pure, sinless blood could atone for us. This is why Jesus is the only mediator between God and fallen man, men and women, children included. Solo Cristo is part of the creed. Only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's only through Jesus. It is His blood that paid our sin debt. We used to sing, "I bought a debt I couldn't pay. It was growing every day. Jesus paid it all for me." And we used to sing, "Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow." And that great hymn of the faith, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains." I remember shortly after coming to Christ as my Savior singing, "I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed." When the Bible speaks of redemption, it says you are not redeemed in the new covenant here by corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers. This was the only way they thought about redemption. Somebody had to pay with money, with some material possession, with something that they can provide. This is the difference in grace, and why grace came to us is because the only possible way for our sin debt to be paid is because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This word means to ransom, but we were not ransomed with silver and gold. We couldn't pay. That's why the songwriter was theologically, biblically correct, spiritually correct, when he said, "I bought a debt I couldn't pay." There are a lot of people trying to work their way to heaven. Now, there's a lot of works we can do to show appreciation and display what saved really is. Oh, but friend, there's nothing we can do to pay our own way to heaven. No work, no sacrifice, no life, no sanctified life, no pouring out of our life to others could ever pay our sin debt. It had to be paid with innocent blood. It had to be paid with a sacrificed lamb, not breaking the pattern of the Old Testament, but amplifying it, magnifying it. When Jesus, who was a type, the lamb that was offered, all the Old Testament sacrifices was a type of Christ to come. And when He came, we didn't need a priest anymore to offer that sacrifice. Jesus became both the lamb that was sacrificed and the priest who offered the sacrifice in our behalf. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all, being justified freely by His grace. And the reason that grace has been granted is through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ today. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. If there's something to be thankful for, this Thanksgiving season that we're in every single day. See, when the holiday's over, this is a holiday to the world, but this is more than a holiday for the Christian. This is a day that we not only celebrate on Turkey Day. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to not enjoy this time to enjoy something we don't enjoy but once a year, and that's a big old turkey. Maybe Christmas have another one, but maybe but we're going to have a turkey. But we know something when the holiday is over. And that celebration of that day, celebrating mainly, if there's any such celebration of Thanksgiving in the world other than watching a sports game and having some kind of a party, listen, it's because of the material blessings that God has blessed America with, that we have more than the largest percentage of people dwelling on this planet. Whatever your lot in life is, we have more than the majority of people on the planet have right here in America. We are more prosperous than the majority of people that live on planet Earth. Maybe you're struggling to make ends meet, but when you compare it, juxtapose it against what other people around the world, many and most, are dealing with, we are very, very rich. If we can keep the lights on, if we can keep some gas in the car, and we have a car, and we have a home that has a roof that isn't leaking on us, and we're not out in the elements, and we're not going hungry, and we have enough left to buy some things that we don't even need, but we can buy them just for our personal enjoyment, that puts us in a category of riches. Oh, but dear friend, the true riches, the greater riches, have nothing to do or little to do with the material blessings. And really, it's comparatively nothing. Our greatest riches is to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. For Him, the sinless Son of the living God, to take our sins upon Him and bear the punishment for them, so that we could be justified because He was punished in our behalf. God can't be just and not punish sin. He's obligated by His holiness, and yet He wanted to save us so bad from ourselves, from the consequences of our sin, and from Satan's bondage, that He gave His Son to redeem us. And His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, became our Redeemer so that grace could flow to us. Oh, it's a free gift. It cost us nothing, but it cost Christ everything to give it to us. It cost God, who gave His only begotten Son, and listened to Him cry upon that cruel cross. In the Aramaic, it was in Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Jesus died without the Father's comfort. Jesus died without the Father's consolation. Jesus died as a man upon that cross that was forsaken of God, though He was God in the flesh. That part of Him just vacated, not His body, but His consciousness, so that He cried out. You know, He stood in Pilate's hall, and no one stood with Him, but He said, my Father's with me. His courage, His consolation came from that consciousness. And yet upon that cross, when He that knew no sin became sin, not a sinner, but became as a sinner to be punished for our sin. It's a mystery, and yet there's such majesty in the mystery that He who knew no sin, He became cursed. He became crushed. He became punished so we could be forgiven, so we could be set free. He paid the price. The debt we owed was death, not just physical death, but spiritual, eternal death. It's called the second death in the book of Revelation. Oh, but it's also the hope we have is blessed and holy is He that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death hath no power. Our sin debt is paid in full. And Jesus cried out when He knew that the debt was paid in full. He cried out, "It is finished." It was one word that He uttered, translated accurately, "It is finished or accomplished." Tetelestai. And I may not be pronouncing it just like it ought to be, but it's that one Greek word that meant paid in full. A ransom was paid so that we could go free. That's why the Bible said, whoever the Son sets free, he's free indeed. He's really free, because the full price for our redemption, our ransom, has been paid at the cross by Jesus Christ. If I've got a reason to be grateful, no matter what each day brings, I am redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to Him I now resign. I have been redeemed. Glory be to God. Listen, I don't know what your strata of life is today, where you are in the world, whether you are in a palace, or whether you're living in a tent or a thatched roof house, or whether you drive a car, ride a bicycle. I don't know your strata of life, but I know whatever you possess materially is not what gives you such worth. It's the price that was paid for you to be saved, for you to be sealed by the Holy Spirit, marked as God's very own, and you to be safe from the wrath to come. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have been redeemed. Yes, it's by grace you're saved. Through faith, it is the gift of God. But this grace comes to us because of the redemption that is in Jesus Christ today. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so indeed. Every time we receive Holy Communion, the Bible said, we show the Lord's death until He come. And it's not S-H-O-W, it's S-H-E-W. Which means to proclaim publicly. What are we proclaiming? That we're redeemed. But we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. His body broken, His blood poured out. And we are declaring that this person, our Redeemer, Jesus, only His blood could be accepted. Because it had to be sinless. Now there's a doctrine today, you're going to hear it from some teachers that I wish did not teach it. I want to respect them. I want to see them as brethren. But there's a teaching today that Jesus, when He became sin, literally became a sinner in order to become sin. Well, He had to, and He ceased to be God, and He had to go to hell, And he had to be redeemed by the blood that he shed on the cross for himself and became the first born-again man. And I've heard people teach that. And I pray they're not teaching it anymore. I don't know how they are recently teaching. But I'm telling you, Jesus did not cease to be God. But there was a compartmentalization of that divinity because he died as a lost human being without God and without hope initially. Oh, but friend of mine, listen. He knew if I get through this without the consolation of my Father, if I get through this and die as any other lost sinner would die, though he never sinned. The Bible's clear about that. He never sinned. If he never sinned, he doesn't need salvation. He doesn't need saving. He is, in fact, the Savior. And that's why the devil had no claim on him whatsoever. He didn't tremble before the devil. The devil is trembling before him because he couldn't touch him. He allowed that death to come. He gave up the ghost. Otherwise, he couldn't have even died, though he was suffering such pain and agony. But when he knew it was enough, it stopped. He gave up his spirit. His body slumped on that cross as he bled out and the blood ran down that body and dripped on that ground. It didn't just drip on the ground beneath the cross. It sprinkled the mercy seat in heaven. There was a spiritual transaction whereby he paid our sin debt. He ransomed us. And you and I were not redeemed, ransomed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb, listen, without spot, without blemish. That's why Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. No one could pay the sin debt. We couldn't pay it ourselves. And no person on this planet, in this world, could pay it for us. No work we could do could merit forgiveness and salvation. But the blood of Christ was the solution. And it's the solution today. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Heavenly Father who loved you and I enough to give us His Son to be a ransom so He could still be just and a justifier of them that put their trust, repent of our sins and trust Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. And today, dear friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, my Bible says, what I believe you know deep in your heart, that you're without hope because you're without God in this world. And when the great thinkers and the great leaders, the most intelligent people of the earth, the scientists, the professors, the think tank geniuses, when they're all puzzled, when they're all filled with fear, without answers, looking at the things which are coming upon the earth, distress of nations, with puzzlement, perplexity, without hope. But there is hope. There's hope in the Redeemer. There's hope in the God who loved you enough and wanted to secure you and save you enough to give His only Son so that you could be saved as a ransom. And Jesus loved you enough to pay your sin debt and pay the ransom with His own broken body and His own shed blood on the cross. So I bid you come to Him today. Come to Him today. He's waiting for you. I have to believe that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is calling you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your soul. You'll find peace for your mind. You'll find purpose for your life. You'll have hope that even death can't cancel or conquer. Come to Jesus and be saved.